We've been talking about mosques, and we're going to switch gears now from the religious to the secular, from the U.S. to Dubai, a shimmering city in the desert. And if you've been there, there is one building that you can't miss. It dominates the skyline, the Burj Khalifa, the tallest building in the world. If you're wondering how tall, well, during Ramadan, people in the Burj Khalifa break their fast 2 minutes later. Because they are so high up, they see the sun set 2 minutes later than everyone else in the city. Steve Paulson sat down with the well-known architecture critic Paul Goldberger to talk all things Burj.
Paul, most of our listeners have never actually seen the Burj Khalifa. What does it look like?
Well, it's very tall. Unlike a lot of American skyscrapers, though, or at least unlike a lot of recent American skyscrapers, it's actually rather beautifully composed. You know, there are short, medium, and tall sections of it, and they're arranged as a really lovely composition. And only one of them goes all the way up to the highest height, as it were. So if you can imagine sort of a group of straws, a cluster of them that come to different heights, the Burj Khalifa looks a little bit like that. I was surprised to find out actually how elegant it looked. I didn't think it would. Now, whether there's actually a reason this skyscraper has to exist is a whole other question altogether, of course.
Yeah.
But if it does exist, it's not unattractive, and it's better looking than an awful lot of the tall buildings we build today.
Well, let me get to that question of, you know, whether this building should exist, because there were a lot of very intense critiques of the Burj Khalifa as soon as it was put up. And in fact, the reaction in some circles was extremely negative. What is wrong with this building?
Well, the main thing that's wrong with this building is that it exists at all, in that it, you know, it really is largely a vanity project. And it was a further example of Dubai wanting to demonstrate its importance on the world stage. And building the world's tallest building is a way to get the world to pay attention to you and to take you seriously.
There's the question of, you know, is it just a vanity project? What you know, why does Dubai need such a tall building? But even beyond that, I mean, there are other questions about this building too, right? I mean, just the carbon footprint that it has, it's kind of overwhelming, isn't it, for being in a desert environment?
Well, Dubai itself doesn't make a lot of sense in a desert environment. How much worse the Burj Khalifa is than a dozen other skyscrapers in Dubai, which is in fact a city of skyscrapers, is a fair question to ask. The Burj Khalifa is no poster child for sustainability. That's for sure. However, you know, part of that, again, is its presence in the desert.
Right. Now, obviously, there's a huge amount of symbolism in a building like this in the Arab world. And in fact, I've heard the Burj Khalifa as a secular mosque for the Muslim world. I mean, it's the symbol of commerce and that the Middle East and particularly Dubai has arrived on the global scene.
Absolutely. And that there, too, there's nothing new about that. If we can go back to an earlier world's tallest building, the Woolworth Building from 1913 in Lower Manhattan, it was very famously called the Cathedral of Commerce. And it was believed to mark the triumph of American capitalism on the world scene, which in many ways it did. So to say that the Burj Khalifa is a kind of secular mosque is only to say that the more things change, the more they remain the same. Or the more things move around the world, the more they remain the same.
Yeah. Now, as soon as the Burj Khalifa was finished, I mean, once the building was actually constructed, Dubai was thrown into an economic crisis. The boom was over. What happened to the Burj Khalifa then?
The economic crisis actually began before the Burj Khalifa was finished. The Burj Khalifa was originally to be called the Burj Dubai, and Dubai began to fall into economic trouble before the building was finished. It was bailed out by its wealthier neighbor in Abu Dhabi. And the tower was renamed the Burj Khalifa to honor the ruling family of Abu Dhabi that helped out with it. So in fact, its very name is a reminder that Dubai was in real trouble and needed help to finish the building.
Now, I would think there must be some real questions as to the future of a building like this in a desert place like Dubai. I mean, whether, you know, this the environment there can sustain a building of this size for years, for decades to come.
And yet they're building more of them. You know, in Saudi Arabia, in Jeddah, there is a building even taller that is under construction. So in the Mideast, they have certainly not accepted the notion that it is not a good idea to build super tall buildings in the desert. I can only presume the feeling is that they will, one way or another, continue to find the energy to keep them going. There is, near Dubai, actually in closer to Abu Dhabi, a new city going up called Masdar that is intended as a model of sustainability to show that it is possible in the Middle East to do newer and different things. It's worth noting that Masdar has no skyscrapers. It's mostly a low-rise city. So you're right that the skyscraper is not a model for sustainability in the desert particularly.
So as an architecture critic, I mean, what do you make of a project like this? I mean, you've talked about, you know, it does have its beauty, but, I mean, there is the question of do we need it? But is that just sort of from an American perspective? Maybe we don't get it because we don't live there.
Cultures, countries have used very, very tall buildings as a way of marking their presence on the world stage for a very, very long time. While it's true that people had heard of Paris before the Eiffel Tower, nevertheless, the Eiffel Tower redefined Paris as a city of technology and engineering that looked forward, not only a city that looked backward. Skyscrapers have been defining things for the United States, for China. Is that a somewhat naive or childish way to do it? Is it sort of a little bit adolescent? Is it kind of mine is bigger than yours? Yeah, sure. There is some of that to it. But countries are kind of adolescent, if you get down right down to it. And they're not always the most mature entities we have. And building very, very tall things is a sport I think they're going to continue to engage in, especially as the technology continues to allow newer ways to do it and allow us to keep on going higher.
Paul Goldberger is a contributing editor at Vanity Fair, and for years he wrote the celebrated Skyline architecture column for The New Yorker. Steve Paulson talked with him.